Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to our second class on Sefer Malachim. For those who are here, show of hands, who was here last week? Okay, good, almost everyone. So we'll just take a two-second refresher. We opened up last week with David HaMelech, who was quite old. And essentially last week was all about a political struggle between two of David's children, between Adoniyahu and Shlomo. Again, depending on which interpretation you take, but most likely Adoniyahu saw a vacuum in David's old age. He tried to secure himself for himself the throne. Natan and Bathsheba intervene, and ultimately Shlomo HaMelech comes out the winner. So at the end of last week's chapter, if you weren't here, all you have to know is that Adoniyahu tried to usurp the throne. He was unsuccessful. And ultimately, it is Shlomo who will be the king. This week's chapter, Perek Bet, is all about essentially consolidating and solidifying Shlomo's throne. Okay, and we'll see different ways of interpreting the Perek, but that's essentially what it is. Essentially, now that Shlomo is the king, what's the first thing you're going to do as the king? So you're going to take away any prospects of future rebellion. And the way you're going to do that is by getting rid of those people from your father's past that have been troublemakers in the past. You are now essentially going to get rid of them. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech is going to do in our Parsha. It's great to see you, Yocheved Handy. Always in good health. Okay, so if we open up, you should have, I gave you a whole source packet of Art Scroll pages. So first we're going to read the Psukim in the Hebrew and the English just to give ourselves a little flavor. And really in order to understand this Perek, the key is in understanding the personalities that are referenced in this Perek. So we're going to go through it quickly, and then we're going to come back and go person by person and try to understand why each one is so significant. So again, we open up Perek Bet, the second chapter of Sefer Malachim Aleph. Vayikrevu yemei David lamut, vayitzav et Shlomo beno lemor. So David HaMelech is nearing his end, and he commands his son Shlomo with the following. Anochi olech baderech kol ha'aretz v'chazakta v'hayita la'ish. Right, I am going the way of the land. In other words, that's a nice way of saying he's about to die. And his instructions to Shlomo HaMelech are v'hayita la'ish. You should be a man. Now why does David HaMelech have to tell his son to be a man? He was young, right? Ra'abag points this out. How old? Most likely Shlomo HaMelech was 12 years old. Wow. Not exactly the imagery of strength that you want to project to the kingdom. And so David HaMelech tells Shlomo, it's time to grow up really fast.
And also, he knows, as the king, he knows what...
He knows what challenges are out there, exactly. Right? We tell Bar Mitzvah boys this. When we meet with Bar Mitzvah boys... We always say Judaism is unfair because when the rest of society tells you that you're not a man until 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, from a Jewish perspective, you're a man when you're 13. Right? I always tell Bar Mitzvah boys, you now have the same religious obligations that I have. And in a certain way that is filled with opportunity, but also it's filled with a tremendous amount of responsibility and it's somewhat of a burden. So that's essentially what David HaMelech is saying here. V'hayisa l'ish, Shlomo, I know that you're only very young, but time to get it together, because you have to start acting old, right? As they say in the business world, fake it until you make it, right? That's essentially what David's telling him, right? You have to project an imagery of strength. So what's the first thing that he tells him? Mishamartas, mishmeras, arnai lohecha, laleches, bidrachav, lishmor, chukosav, mitzosav, mishpatav, ve'edosav, kakasu besoras Moshe. Number one most important thing before we get all to the political mumble jumble is remember Hashem. Always have to be faithful to Hashem. Leman taskil eis kol asher taaseh ve'eis kol asher tifnesham, so that you, my son Shlomo, should be successful. Okay? The Malbim points out that the word taskil is different than the word matzliach. Usually when we talk about, you see, you want to wish someone good luck on something, you'd say, Hatzlacha Rabbah. I wish you lots of luck. You should succeed. So the Malbim points out that the words Laman Taskil is different from the word Matzliach. He says, Shehatzlacha Tuliyah B'mazel. When I say Shehatzlacha, It means you should have good mazel, right? You should have good luck. Haskala, but success, the word that's used in our pasuk, tluya betov seichala adam, livchor amsayim atovim tamid. Hasach, a taskil, means more of a calculated. What? But he's saying, right, to make good choices. Right, to matzliach means that just things happen to happen good to you. Lamantaskil means to make good choices, to be intentional about that which you do. Okay? Laman yakim adonai es tvaro asher diber alai lemor im ishmru vanecha estar kam laleches lefanai be'emes b'chol vavam v'chol nafsham lemor lo yikares lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. Why, Shlomo, is it so important that you listen to Hashem's word? Because if you do so, then Hashem will fulfill his promise to me, which said that if your children fulfill my precepts, then I guarantee you that the throne will never be cut off from your family. Okay? That is section one, so to speak. That's the Torah section, right? First, keep the Torah. Now, Shlomo, David HaMelech pivots. Vegam ataya data. Eis asher asa li Yoav ben Tsruya asher asa lishnei tzarei tzvaot Yisrael avner ben ner ulamasa ben yeser vayihargeim vayasem dmei melchama b'shalom. Right, you know what Yoav ben Tsruya did to two of my military chiefs of staffs, to Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeter. And again, I'm gonna hold off the details of that for now. We're gonna come back to it afterwards, right? Vayasim dmei milchama bishalom. Right? Rashi says that means that they came in peace, and you reacted to them with the blood of war. And as you reacted to them by killing them, vayitain dmei milchama bechar goroso asher b'masnav uveminah lo asher b'raglav. Rashi says that's referencing to the way that Yoav killed these two individuals, but nonetheless you killed them. And then he says pasuk 6, vasisa kichach masecha. You should do what you think is best. In other words, I trust you, my son Shlomo, to do what you think is right. Radak says, "Kolomar shelot hargeu, ad shetimsa alav ola, afa pishu chayamisa." Don't just kill him. Wait until he does something that deserves being killed. Wait for a pretext to kill him, right? Afa pishu chayamisa, even though he's chayamisa, kimelchamos Hashem nilcham v'tovos nimsubo. Right. In other words, you don't want to just make people think that you're just a vengeful individual. Okay. So v'asisa kechach masecha, you should be smart and tactful in how you do it. V'lo seireid, so reid seivaso b'shalom sheol, and basically, you shouldn't die a natural death. Okay. Rashi says, why shouldn't he die a natural death? Al tanicheu lamus misas atzmo. Don't allow him to die a natural death. V'lipol b'gehenim. Right, which is interesting. Right, if you die a natural death, what don't you get? You don't get atonement in the way that you die. Right, in other words, if you kill him, so then you exact his punishment in this world, which means that he can merit the world to come. Now again, why David HaMelech would want that to be the case, we'll see in a little bit. Okay? Ulivnei barzilai hagiladi. So that's number one was Yoav. Number two, Barzilai Hagiladi, Taaseh Chesed, you should act good to him. Vayu be'ochlei shulchanecha, you should always be invited to, you know, for Shabbos and Yontif, you should always have him over for a meal. Ki kein karvu elai b'archi b'mnei Avshalom achicha, because when David was escaping Avshalom, Barzilai helped him out, Barzilai gave him food, and so therefore you should treat him well as well. V'ineim cha Shimon ben Gera, now we come on to Shimon ben Gera. Shimi again cursed and threw stones at David as he was escaping Avshalom during the rebellion. And then after the rebellion concluded, Shimi did a 180. He flip-flopped on us. And he runs to David and he says, David, I'm your best friend. Right? What greater king? We're so lucky. So David at that point, well, I have the psukim for you. We'll see later. David forgives Shimi. He says, okay, I'm not going to touch you. But we'll see, it's not so simple. Pasaches again. Vinei imcha, Shimi ben Gera. Why the word imcha with you? The Mefarshim explained that Shimi was likely she was the Malam de Torah. He was the Malamed. He was the educator who came in to teach Shlomo. So Shlomo knew him very well. Vinei imcha, Shimi ben Gera, ben hayiminim, mi bachurim. V'hu kilalani kilalanim ratzeh b'yom lachtim achanaim. He cursed me. V'hu yarad likrasi ayardein. And then, after the rebellion was squashed, he came back to me. V'ashava lo b'anai lemor ima mischa b'charev. He says, I'm not going to kill you. V'alta atinakeyu. You, Shlomo, do not leave him guiltless. Ki ish chacham ata. You're very smart, Shlomo. V'yadata is asher taseh lo v'oratase v'aso b'dam shol. You'll know what to do with him. Wink, wink. This is all David. This is David's parting words to Shlomo. This is his last will and testament. Okay? Pasuk 1 and 9. 1 through 9 was David's parting messages. Again, it's really split into two parts. One is really the spiritual sense. Always maintain your fidelity to Hashem and to His Torah. And number two, at least the way you read it, David HaMelech is instructing Shlomo to do what?
To get even with
all of them. To get even. Take revenge. Right? That's what it sounds like. And reward. Right? Take revenge and reward. Vaishkav David imavosav. Vaikaver beir David. David HaMelech dies. Vayamim asher malach David. And then it gives us the amount of years that he lived. Okay? How do you... Let's continue. Pasuk Yudbet. Ushlomo yashav al kisei David aviv vatikon malchuso meod. David, now Shlomo's in charge. Vatikon malchuso meod means what? How would you translate it? It's like a weird phraseology. It was very established. In other words, a sense of strength to it. Vayavo Adoniyahu ben Chagit. So we know Adoniyahu. Where do we know him? From last week. Again, what did Adoniyahu want to do? He was trying to usurp the throne. And at the end, remember, he was so fearful that Shlomo would kill him. So what did he do, if you remember? He grabbed onto the sides of the Mizbeach, and Shlomo Melech forgives him for the time being. Vayavo Adoniyahu ben Chagik el Bat Sheva im Shlomo vatomer ha-shalom bo'echa vayom ha-shalom. So he comes to Bat Sheva. Vayomer davar li'eleich vatomer daber. Adoniyahu says, can I talk to you in confidence? She says, go for it. Vayomer ad yadat ki li'ay sa melucha. You know that really the melucha was meant for me. Ve'alai samu kol Yisrael p'neihem limloch. And everyone really wanted me to be king. Vatisova melucha vatihi la'achi ki me'adonai yisalo. But God had different plans, and so Shlomo is ultimately the king. Ve'ata she'ila achat anochi shoel meitach. And think about, by the way, why he starts his words with that. Like, what a weird, right? You should know, really, this was meant to be mine. But, like, it didn't work out that way. But just in case you forgot from last week, this was all meant to be mine. And now I only have one question, he says. Pasuk Tezayin, 16. Al tashivi es panai vatomer elav daber. He says, please, just one thing. She says, go for it. Vayomer imnina li shlomo amelach ki lo yashiv es panayich vayitin li es avishag hashunamit li shah. Remember, we discussed this last week. Avishag, the beautiful woman who was keeping David company. So now she's an available person. She has no one to take care of. So Adoniyahu says, all I want is the girl. And if you recall last week, the Malbim said, and he says it over here again, that was the whole reason why Adoniyahu made David look weak in this whole national story. He wanted the girl the whole time. So now he says, I'll give David the throne. I'll give David all I want is the girl. Shlomo, excuse me. Batomar Batsheva Tov, Anochi Adaber Alech Alamelech. Batsheva says, sounds good. Batavo Batsheva El Amelech Shlomo Ladaber Lo Aldoniyahu, Vayakam Amelech Likrasa, Vaishtachula, Vaisheva Kiso, Vayeshe, Vayasem Kise Laim Hamelech, Vateshev Limino. So, Shlomo's, picture the scene. Shlomo's on his throne, he brings over a chair. Mama comes next to me. Vatomar Sheila Achak Tana Nochi Shoel Ameitach. Al tashev es panai, vayomer la melech shali imi ki lo ashiv es panai. Batsheva says, I only have one question. Don't send me home empty-handed. Shlomo Melech says, don't worry, I got your back. Vatomer yuten et avishag ashunamit la doniyahu achicha lav isha. Give avishag to your brother.
Is that halachically allowed for him to marry his father's wife?
She wasn't a wife. If you recall, that's the psukim were very careful to say v'David lo yada, that they never. She was just there for company. She was his aide, a specific type of aide, but she was just his aide. Okay. Now it seems, at least the way, again, everything is about contrast and tone and the way you read the psukim. Up until now, it seems pretty innocuous. Right? Honestly, if I were doing it, I would say, Adoniyahu has been through so much. He just experienced tremendous embarrassing episode in his life. He's asking for one simple thing. What's the big deal? Right? Just give him what he wants. That's the way the psukim build it up. It seems like a very innocuous request. I only have one thing to ask. What's the big deal? Right? The way the words that are used. But listen to how Shlomo, and again, this all comes back to the Vayita La'ish, that you have to be a man. In other words, you have to anticipate what's going to happen. Vayan HaMelech Shlomo, Pasuk 22. Shlomo answers, Vayomer Li'imo, V'lama at sho'elet et avisha gashunamit la'aduniyahu, V'shali lo et hamlucha, ki hu achi agadol mimeni, V'lo ulev yatar koin elio ben Tzruya. Shlomo HaMelech says, what are you trying to take the throne away from me also? What a ridiculous request. Now, why is it ridiculous? What does Shlomo HaMelech immediately realize that Adoniyahu is trying to do? He wants an in. Now, again, if you remember last week, and Malbim points that out, Ki hagam she'in hedyot mishtamesh b'sharvito shel HaMelech. Can a regular person use the king's property, woman, throne? No. You got to be on the inside. And therefore, think about how Adoniyahu introduced his request. He said, I'm not a regular guy. Right? Remember his words.
I should be king.
Ki li haita melucha. Really, it should have been me. Ve'alai samu kol Yisrael p'neim limloch. And it was really, everyone thought I should be the king. Says the Malbim, what Adoniyahu was saying is, ani eini hedyot. Adoniyahu says, remind Shlomo, I'm not a regular guy. Ki ha-melucha higia li b'tchila. Really, the melucha should have been for me. So what Adoniyahu is doing is by getting the girl, by getting Avishag, what would that have symbolized to the masses? That really Adoniyahu should have been the king. In the way Adoniyahu is going to show everyone that he should have been the king,
it would legitimize,
exactly, is by walking around with the king's girl, so to speak. Okay? And so Shlomo HaMelech picks up on this immediately. Right? What chutzpah my brother has to ask me. Right? Radak says, Vehevin Shlomo. Shlomo immediately realized, Ki betu nahu mevakesh osa. Levisha haya aser lishtamish ba im lo haya melech. Shlomo HaMelech immediately saw that Adoniyahu realized that he couldn't use the girl unless he was also a king or had a relationship to the kingship. And therefore Shlomo reacts this way. So what does he say? Vayishava melech Shlomo baranai leimor. Ko yaseh li Elohim v'cho yosif ki benafsho diber Adoniyahu es hadavar hazeh. It's a nice way Rashi says of making a promise. So Shlomo HaMelech is now swearing. Ve'ata chai Adonai asher hachinani v'yoshivani al kisei David avi v'asher asah li bayis kasher diber. I swear by Hashem who made me established on this throne. Ki hayom yumas Adoniyahu. Shlomo HaMelech realizes immediately that Adoniyahu will be a threat, and he's got to get rid of it. Right? La'avdil. Bad analogy. I won't go there. But let's go to the business world. Right? A guy is fired from being the CEO for stealing, selling secrets from one company to the next. But they keep him on as an independent advisor. And the new CEO comes in and he realizes that the whole time behind the scenes the guy is undermining the new CEO's integrity and he's causing a division within the mass. So the new CEO realizes immediately, what does he got to do? He's got to get the guy out of there. He's toxic to the work environment. So Shlomo realizes that as long as Adoniyahu is around, you're going to have problems. Okay. While we're on Adoniyahu, if you just look on, I should have numbered the pages, but 1, 2, 3, 4. If you look on page 4, yeah. That Batsheva didn't perceive it? Well, it looks quite obvious, especially when you look at page 4 that I gave you. Okay? I know, I didn't number the pages. But I have written on the left-hand side an arrow, and it says, compare Adoniyahu and Avshalom. Okay? So look at Pasuk 20. This is, there happens to be, there's a lot of, and we're not going to go into this, but there's a lot of underlying imagery to Avshalom in our parak, in the previous parak. Again, Avshalom was another one of David's sons who also caused a rebellion. And so there are a lot of comparisons to between what Avshalom does and between what Adoniyahu does. But listen to how Avshalom, when he's trying to basically project his rebellion to the people, listen to what he does. We'll just read the English. Avshalom said to Achitophel, give counsel, what should we do? In other words, how should we basically tell everyone that this is what's going on? Achitophel advised Avshalom, consort with your father's concubines, whom he's left to keep the house. All of Israel will hear that you have totally repudiated your father, and all who are with you will strengthen their resolve. So they pitched a tent on the roof for Avshalom, and Avshalom consorted with his father's concubines in front of all Yisrael.
So he got permission to get
it. No. That was bad. That was not a good thing, right? But what is the mechanism through which Avshalom chooses to project his rebellion? By having relations with the king's concubines. And so Shlomo HaMelech sees the exact same thing being done right here. He sees that Adoniyahu wants the king's concubine, and he immediately takes it. Why Bathsheba doesn't realize it, I don't know. The contrast is definitely surprising, for sure. Okay? So now we're back on Pasuk Chafei, in Pasuk 25 in our parak. So Shlomo HaMelech sniffs this out immediately. Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo b'yad b'nayahu ben Yehoyada vayifkabo vayamot. He immediately has him killed. Okay? Why does it say b'nayahu ben Yehoyada? Yehoyada was a Kohen. So b'nayahu is a Kohen. So isn't that strange to send a Kohen to kill someone, right? A Kohen is supposed to be pure. So the Radak points out, either he stabbed him and then ran away before he died, so that he wasn't there to be Tamei, or Radak says the only time it's usur, it's prohibited for a Kohen to be Tamei, is in a vacuum. But for a mitzvah, says the Radak, b'makom mitzvah mitamei, v'lasot mitzvah hamelech, mitzvah he, to do the word of the king, to fulfill what the king asks you to do, that's a mitzvah. And so perhaps, therefore, he was allowed to kill him. Okay. So that's number one. Number one is Adoniyahu is out of the picture. Number two, Ula Eviatar HaKohen. Again, Eviatar was one of Adoniyahu's henchmen. So Ula Eviatar HaKohen, Amar HaMelech, Anotot Leich Al Sadecha. Where does he do? What does he do with him? Sends him into exile. Kiish Mavesata. Because you're really deserving to be king, killed. Uvayom hazeh lo amitecha, ki nasata es aron Adonai Elohim lifnei David avi, v'chi his anisa bechol asher his ana avi. Okay, who was Eviatar? So Eviatar, I believe I gave it to you here. Eviatar. Hold on. Yeah, if you look on page 5 of the packet, on the top I wrote Eviatar. Okay, and it has two arrows on the left hand side. 703 on the top left hand side. Okay, so as David HaMelech is running away from King Shaul, from Melech Shaul, so he takes refuge in the city of Nov. The city of Nov was a priestly city, it was a city of Kohanim. When Shaul hears that the city of Nob gave refuge to David, what does he do? So, Pasuk 16, where I have my first underline. But the king said, you must die, Achimelech, you and all your father's house. The king then said to the footmen who stood above him, surround and kill the Kohanim of Hashem, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not inform me. But the servants of the king were not willing to send forth their hand to slay the Kohanim of Hashem. So the king said to Doeg, you circle around and kill the Kohanim. And again, David has everyone killed. Pasuk 20. Shaul. One son of Ahimelech, his name was Eviatar, escaped, and he fled to David. Eviatar told David that Shaul had massacred the Kohanim of Hashem. David said to Eviatar, I knew on that day that Doeg Adomi was there, and that he would certainly inform Shaul, I am responsible for every life of your father's house. Stay with me and fear not, for the man who seeks my life seeks your life as well. You are safe with me. And so Eviatar, right, what does David HaMelech have there? How would you describe why he protects Eviatar?
Because he saved his life.
More, well, if you...
No, I think he's feeling guilty.
Guilty! Yeah. He has a guilty conscience.
Well, the rest of them were killed.
Right, why? Why were they were killed because David was there. So David HaMelech has a guilty conscience. And so he says, I'm going to take care of you, of Eviatar. Now, that's not necessarily referenced in the psukim here. But in the psukim here, it references that he carried the aron and his anisa. What does that word hitanita mean? Inuyim. Which, suffering. So it says, Rashi and others, quote, Imo be'oso hatzara. That when David HaMelech was running away, so the pasuk says, Ki amru ha'am ra'av v'ayef et samam b'midbar, that the people were thirsty and they were hungry in the desert, and Eviatar was with them. So because Eviatar, so to speak, endured the pain and suffering alongside David, David says he will be spared. And so Eviatar is sent into exile. Pasuk 27, back in our chapter. Vayigaresh Shlomo es Eviatar miyos kohen ladonai, he strips him of the kuhuna, lemalei es tevar anai asher diber al beis eli b'shilo, to fulfill the word that Hashem said, al beit eli in Shilo. Anyone remember what that was about? All the way at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Eli, of course, we know Eli from the story of Hannah, right? We just read about it. What do Eli's sons do? Not exactly the best people. They're not doing such good things with the woman at the time, right? And so Hashem tells Eli that because of your son's indiscretions, so I'm going to rob the kahuna from you. Right? Hashem doesn't do it at the time. He waits. It's delayed punishment. And now, because he strips Eviatar of the kahuna, so he fulfills the promise, so to speak, the decree that Hashem had established to Beit Eli all the way back in Shmuel Aleph. Okay?
Eviatar lost the kahuna because he killed him? No.
He lost the kahuna because it was just a convenient time for Hashem to rip Beit Eli of the kahuna. It was like once he's doing it. Okay? Ve'ashmua ba'a, pasuk chafchet. Ve'ashmua ba'a ad Yoav. Ki Yoav nata charei Adoniyahu, ve'acharei Avshalom, lo nata. Vayanas Yoav el oel Adonai, vayachazek bekarnot mizbech. So Yoav realizes what's going on. He hears that Shlomo is cleaning house, and so Adoniyahu, when he was being chased, what did he do? He ran and grabbed hold of the Mizbeach. So Yoav says, I'm going to try the same shtick. And so he runs and he grabs hold of the Mizbeach. Vayugad lamelech Shlomo kinas Yoav elohel Adonai v'hinei eitzel Mizbeach. They tell Shlomo what happens. Vayishlach Shlomo es Benayahu ben Yoyada lemor lech pagabo. Sends Benayahu and says, go kill him.
So he's the hitman.
Yes. Vayavo benayahu el oel Adonai vayomer elav ko amar amelech tsei. He says, go. Like, in other words, let go of that. Vayomer lo. He said, Yoav says, not so fast. Ki po amud. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me here. Vayasha benayahu el amelech es amelech davar leimor ko diber Yoav echo anani. So, again, the messenger back and forth. Vayomer lo amelech asei kasher diber Ufagabo ukvarto, do as I told you, go and kill him and bury him. Vahasiro tai demei chinam, asher shafach Yoav mealai umeal beit avi. And basically remove the cheap blood. Right now, we'll see, Yoav killed people in cold blood. So David says, remove that from my shoulders. Vehishi vadonai estamo al rosho, basically it's going to be on his head. Asher paga bishnei anashim tzadikim vetovim mimenu, because he killed two innocent people. Vayargim b'cherev v'avi David lo yada, es Avner ben Ner Tsar Tzava Yisrael v'es Amasa ben Yeser Tsar Tzva Yehuda. Okay, again, he's going to avenge the death. Veshavu demeim berosh Yoav uverosh zaro leolam. Again, this is going to tie up all the loose strings. So, Vayal ben Ayal ben Yoyada vayifka bo vayimiseu vaykaver beveso b'midbar. Ben Ayal does exactly as he's told. He goes, he kills Yoav, and he buries him. Vayitein ha-melech es ben Ayal ben Yoyada dachtav al tzatzava. So, Ben Ayahu, who's now been the assassin, so he now makes him the chief of staff of the military. Vetzadok haKohen Nasan haMelech tachas Eviatar, and Tzadok now becomes the Kohen. Vayishlach haMelech vayikra leShimi. Again, Shimi was the other one. Remember, Shimi was the one who flip flopped. First, he threw stones at David. Then he comes back, and David says, "I'm going to protect you." So he can't kill him. So what's he going to do? Well, what are options? Kill, that's off the table. We saw exile was one option. What's a third option? So, think about modern day. What do? They put people in house arrest. Right? They put a bracelet around their ankle. So that's what he does to Shimi. Vayomer lo, b'nei lecha bayit b'Yerushalayim. Build a house in Yerushalayim. Vayashavta sham, and you live in it. V'lo teitzei mishama navana. And you can't leave Yerushalayim. You're confined to the borders of Yerushalayim. Why would he do that? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, right? If you want to keep an eye on someone, so you keep them close, you keep them right underneath your nose. V'haya b'yom tzeischa ve'avarta esnacha, Pasuk 37. And if you leave, yadoa teda ki mos tamus damcha yebroshecha. Not only are you going to die, but it's going to be your fault. As I'm giving you warning, don't mess up.
Shlomo said this to Shimi?
To Shimi, correct. Vayomer Shimi Lamelech. Shimi says back to Shlomo, Tov Hadavar Kashir Diber Adoni Amelech Ken Yaseh Avdecha. Sounds like a plan, right? By the way, why does it sound like such a good plan? Because Shimi saw what happened to everyone else. This is a good solution, option. Vayeshev Shimi b'Yerushalayim yamim rabim, and so Shimi dwells in Yerushalayim. Vayhimi ket shalosh shanim, 3 years pass. Vayivrchu shnei avadim l'Shimi el Achish ben Macha melech Gad, and a few of Shimi's servants run away. Shimi runs after them. Pasuk mem aleph 41. Vayugad l'Shlomo ki alach Shimi m'Yerushalayim Gad vayashav. Word got back to Shlomo that Shimi broke the terms of his house arrest, of his Yerushalayim arrest. Vayishlach haMelech vayikra leShimi vayomer elav halo hishbaticha ba'Adonai va'id b'chal emor b'yom tzischa v'alavtan. Right? Didn't we have a deal? And you said it was good. Pasuk mem gimel. Why did you violate that? Pasuk mem dalet 45. Vayomer haMelech al Shimi ataya data isa kol ara asher yada levavcha asher asisa leDavid avi. He says, now I realize that you're not as trustworthy as I thought you might be. Right, and again, he's going to have him killed. V'amelech Shlomo baruch v'chisei David yenachon lifnei Adonai ad olam. Shlomo Melech, after this consolidation of power, his throne was secure. V'yitzav haMelech es b'nayahu ben Yehoyada v'yitzei v'yifka bo v'yamat. So he has Shimi killed, and all of our loose ends are tied up. Yes?
David HaMelech, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built in David's time because there was too much.
Because he had blood on his hands.
And here, Shlomo, that's all we're hearing.
Correct. Politics is a dirty business. You're correct. First of all, Shlomo doesn't do any of the killing.
Exactly.
He has Benayahu do the killing.
It's under his watch.
That's what you got to do, right? The Middle East isn't a pleasant place. We know that, right? You got to.
But Shlomo wasn't a warrior in the sense that David wasn't. That's what David was.
Correct, correct. Right, Shlomo here is not a warrior.
He's only 12 years old.
No, but he has other people doing it for him, right? We pointed this out last week, if you remember. Last week we pointed out that who is active and who is passive. Shlomo HaMelech in last week's parak was completely passive. He doesn't do anything. It was all Bathsheba and Natan. Here, Shlomo HaMelech is much more active, but yes,
he's
what?
He's the
He's asserting himself, but he has other people do it for him. He has other people do it for him. And again, that's that dynamic that we discussed last week between the roles of the king. The king as a military personality, but also the king as a spiritual personality. And David HaMelech has to balance those two. Think about it, even how David's last will and testament to his son started. First, it starts off with, you have to maintain fidelity to Hashem. You always have to remember that spiritual side of you. And only after that does he go and does he talk about the military needs that a king should have. There are two basic approaches to this parak. Number one is that Shlomo had to punish the people that David HaMelech wasn't able to punish in his lifetime. And that this parak is about, so to speak, taking revenge against people's past sins. If that's the case, so you're left with what question? Good, thank you. Why doesn't David do it during his lifetime? Right? Why does David leave this over for his son? Which leads you to believe that it's not what our parak is really about. That our parak is not about taking vengeance against the people who harmed David, but rather it's about educating Shlomo. Right? When David HaMelech tells him, take care of this guy because of what he did to me, and take care, right? What he's essentially telling him is, learn from what happened to me. Right? Learn that you can't trust everyone. Learn that you need to get rid of people that are going to serve as problems in your kingdom. Right? Essentially what he's telling him is to get rid of anyone who is a threat to the future stability. And so says the Abarbanel, our entire parak here is David educating Shlomo about what it means to be a king. Think about it. What does he start off with? Number one, what does it mean to be a king? You have to know Torah. You have to have a relationship with Hashem. Number two, Yoav. We'll get to who Yoav was in a second, but it was essentially disloyalty. He was disloyal to the king. Be careful of people who are disloyal to you. Barzillai. It's important not just to be careful of people who are disloyal to you, but you have to reward people who are loyal to you. Right? Adoniyahu. The second someone gives you a hint, a scent of rebellion, what do you have to do? You have to get rid of it. That's the Vayit al-Ish, be a man, means that you have to realize this is the real world, buddy. Right? Things happen. It isn't clean. It isn't neat. Right? This is all part of David's educating a very young Shlomo HaMelech. Yes? Good. And what's the suggestion was, isn't it important to exact justice? Why is that important?
Sorry?
Why is that important?
The justice?
Yeah. Because I could have played the other argument. Bygones be bygones. What do you got to worry about? The past, move forward, you're pure, right? Why is exacting justice so important?
This is a message for the future.
They would have come given him more trouble.
It's a message for the future that if he's got to be sure that everybody understands where he is.
So good. So I thought of it as you thought of it, which is that it's political. In other words, it's important to enact justice so that people realize that there are consequences for your actions. Okay? Ramosha Lichtenstein has an article on the Gush website where he actually makes the other argument. He points out exactly what you point out, that this is all about exacting justice, but justice not for political reasons, but actually for spiritual reasons. That people have to realize spiritually, in other words, in a God-first relationship, people have to realize that there are repercussions if you senselessly murder people. Right? We're going to see in a second, Yoav inappropriately killed people. And David says to Shlomo, you have to realize that people have to realize there's schar v'onesh. In other words, there's reward and punishment, not necessarily even in a political realm, but in a spiritual realm as well. Okay, so yes, that is a very valid point, and one that's made by our emotional experience. Yes, Yocheved. Right. Charity and justice, right. Right, justice, right, exactly. Justice isn't only political. justice is Torah as well. Exactly, correct. I wasn't checking. I was just checking the EC because it's getting very cold in here. Yeah.
Who did it?
Correct. Excellent point. Right. To Shaul as misplaced mercy. Correct. So to highlight a little bit of this, let's just study for a second who Yoav was. So if you turn to the next, where it says 731 on top. On the top I wrote Avner and Yoav. So again, Yoav murdered two people. He murders first Avner and second Amasa. So who was Avner? So Avner was Shaul's chief of staff. Okay? There was essentially a civil war going on. In one of the battles, Avner kills Asael ben Tsruya, who just happened to be Yoav's brother. So again, Avner accidentally, so to speak, kills Yoav's brother. After Shaul dies, so Avner comes to David and essentially a civil war breaks out between Beit David and Beit Shaul, I think for 7 years. And Avner now comes to broker a peace deal with David HaMelech. Okay? And if you look on where it says 731, we're in Shmuel Bet, Perek Gimel. So Pasuk 17. Avner's message has been sent to all the elders of Israel, saying, from yesterday and from before yesterday, you wanted David as king over you. So now do it. For Hashem has said to David, by the hand of my servant David, I shall save my people Israel from the hand of the Plishtim and from the hand of all their enemies. Avner also spoke in the ears of Binyamin. Then Avner set out to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, that it was all good in the eyes of Israel and the eyes of the entire house of Binyamin. Avner came to David in Hebron, and with him 20 men. And David made a feast for Avner and the men who were with him. Avner said to David, I will rise and go to rally all of Israel behind my lord the king, so that they will seal a covenant with you, and so that you may reign over all your soul desires. David sent Avner away, and he went in peace. Again, so Avner, who was the military chief, he's now coming to broker the peace deal. Just then, behold, the servants of David and Yoav were returning from a raid and brought many spoils with them. Avner was no longer with David in Hebron, for he already sent away, and he was left in peace. When Yoav and all the army that was with him arrived, they told Yoav, saying, Avner ben Ner came to the king, and he sent him away, and he left in peace. So Yoav came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Avner came to you. Why did you send him away and allow him to leave? You know Avner ben Ner, that he comes to entice you and to learn of your comings and goings and to learn all that you do. Yoav then left David's presence and sent messengers after Avner. They brought him back, but David did not know. When Avner returned to Hebron, Yoav led him aside to the middle of the gateway as if to talk to him casually. He struck him there in the fifth rib, and he died as revenge for the blood of his brother Asael. When David heard afterwards, he declared, I and my kingdom are guiltless before Hashem forever for the blood of Avner ben Ner. The guilt shall rest with him. The guilt shall rest, that shall rest, whatever, and it goes on to say, with Avner. Okay? So again, what does Yoav do? He essentially kills Avner in cold blood. Avner is coming to broker a peace deal. Yoav, does he believe him or not believe him? Yoav, the military man, says, no. Right? That smells wrong. And so he kills him. He had him mercilessly killed. Yeah. He obviously felt that Avner pulled a fast one over David. And it was like, you know, once, almost like love is blind. Once you view someone in a certain way, it's hard for you to see the other side. So Yoav obviously felt that he would never be able to convince David. David was already convinced that, right, again, picture Middle Eastern politics, right? Where one guy wants to make a peace deal. One guy thinks Iran has good intentions. The other guy says, you're going to trust them? Don't you realize that they're just buying themselves time? Right? Again, these are not new conversations. This is when you're dealing with backstabbing and and execution and people trying to convince and trick other people, so you never know what someone really has intended. It's freezing here now, right? You never know what people really have intended. Again, literally, think about the deal with Iran. Some people think it's a good deal. Some people think it's not a good deal. Again, that's exact same conversations. Only there, it's a little bit more forceful. Okay? So that's one of them. That's Avner. What about Amasa? So if you turn your page, you have the exact same scenario. Again, this is where it says 777. Okay, Pasuk 8. When they were at the great stone that was in Givon, Amasa was coming toward them. Yoav, again, so who was Amasa? Amasa was Avshalom's military chief. Avshalom had staged a military mutiny against his father. After Avshalom died, so David appoints Amasa as the chief of staff as his army. Very similar situation. Okay? So Amasa was coming toward them. Yoav was girded with his battle garments and had a sword girded upon himself, which was fastened in its whatever. As he moved forward, it fell out. Yoav then said to Amasa, "Is all with you, my brother?" And Yoav's right hand grabbed hold of Amasa's beard to kiss him. Amasa was not vigilant of the sword in Yoav's left hand, and he struck him with it into his fifth rib and spilled his inwards onto the ground. That's the fifth rib, right? So again, very similar. Amasa comes and he now makes good with David. Yoav looks at this and says, something doesn't smell right. Right? I don't trust him. And so Yoav comes, he pretends like he's friend, comes in peace, and he stabs him right in the fifth rib. What is the common denominator between what Yoav does to Avner and what Yoav does to Amasa? Both are attempts at reconciliation. Right? Think about it. Avner is coming to end a civil war. Amasa, after the mutiny of Avshalom, so David HaMelech appoints Amasa as the chief of staff of the army. Why? To show everyone that there's peace again. Right? I don't harbor ill will. We're making peace. We're moving forward. In both times, Yoav comes along and says, I don't trust this process of reconciliation. I don't trust this process of allowing these people into the upper echelons. And so now go back to our parsha, our parah. Why does David HaMelech tell Shlomo that you have to respond with such vigilance? Why is Yoav such a dangerous personality?
Because he kills people.
Yoav represents, it's more than he killed people. A lot of people kill people, right? What does Yoav represent? Yoav represents a very dangerous political perspective.
He comes to you as a friend.
First, he comes to you as a friend and then he literally stabs you in the back or in the front, right? But it's more than that. Every time David tries to reconcile, Yoav tries to stop that. What is Shlomo HaMelech trying to do in this parak, in last week's parak, in this week's parak? He's trying to consolidate. He's trying to reconcile. And don't forget, a lot of people believed Adoniyahu was the king in last week's chapter. Shlomo's trying to consolidate his throne. What could Yoav have thought here? Right? Don't trust everyone. Don't believe people for their word. Right? That personality of, it's almost disloyalty. Don't forget, in both aspects, does Yoav get permission first before he kills people? No, he goes out of, he's a vigilante. That, says David HaMelech, is a very dangerous person to have in your cabinet.
When he killed Avshalom.
Right, he kills Avshalom also. Right.
Why? Not to kill him.
Right. Yoav is a dangerous personality. He's a vigilante. He goes out on his own. Politically, he has a very dangerous political perspective. Anyone who tries to reconcile, Yoav is always in the way. And so again, all of these are necessary components to Shlomo establishing a very strong throne. And so it's not just about the vengeance in the past. It's much more than that. This, you are seeing the coming of age of Shlomo HaMelech. And the way David HaMelech tells him to come of age, it's not just about killing people, but it's about different paradigms of what types of people you are going to encounter. You're going to encounter the disloyal person. You're going to encounter the loyal person. You're going to have to be beware of leaders that are trying to arouse old tribal divisions, right? That are going to try to stir the pot a little bit and not allow you to reconcile with people. You're going to have to squash rebellions. Every one that we encounter in this week's chapter represented a different type of threat. And so this week's parak is all about the education. The Vayisal Ish are the two most important words in the chapter, because this is all about the education of Shlomo HaMelech, going from a 12-year-old boy to a 12-year-old man. Yeah, Yocheb.
Verse 6, chapter 2, when God began to begin, David said, you shall act according to your wisdom.
Right. Therefore, well, it's Yad Hashem, but it's also right. It's about that, but it's also about, right, Vasisa Kechach. Think about what David, what did David, he referenced it a few times. Vasisa Kechach Masecha, do your wisdom. He says it also, he says it a few times. But I think that's important, because again, this is, if it was just about vengeance, so David HaMelech would have told him exactly what to do. I want you to break off his finger. I want you to, right? Right? This is not about vengeance. This is about David trusting his son. Right? Think about when you want to, when you, as your child or grandchild grows up, they're about to cross the street for the first time, or they're about to do something for them. My son went on his first sleepover this past Saturday night, which was successful and unsuccessful in many different ways, right? But the last thing I told him, right, the ultimately, it was really the first time in my life that my son was on his own, that I wasn't there, that he couldn't immediately ask me a question. And so I gave him 100,000 instructions, even though the whole thing lasted, you know, 8 hours. But I gave him 100,000 instructions. But at the end, I realized that ultimately, he had to make decisions for himself. And so the very last thing I told him was, right, I trust you to make smart decisions. And to him, that meant more than anything else I could ever told him. Right? He stood up a little taller when I told him that, right? Because he realizes that he's not just an 8-year-old now, but his dad's treating him like an adult. That's, he trusts him. That's what David HaMelech, right? The Vasisa Kechach Masecha is David HaMelech's way of saying, I trust you to use good judgment. I'm going to give you the blueprint. I'm going to give you all the instructions, but I'm not going to be around to hold your hand and to guide you through every step of the way. And so the greatest gift, very excellent point, the greatest gift David HaMelech gives Shlomo is telling him, I trust you. I trust you to make the right decisions. And Shlomo comes through. Shlomo, with wisdom, knows who to kill, knows who to send into exile, knows who to put under house arrest. Right? That is all the coming of age of Shlomo HaMelech. And next week we will continue with really getting to know Shlomo a little bit better. Everyone have a great week.